The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Very excited. Got a new book coming out. I kind of was piggybacking it on my domination of the Catholic Media Humility Award, the virtue competition that I dominated for nine straight years. Overwhelming, blatant humility. The book is a compilation of my speeches, which I didn't attend the Humility Award. You can't attend the Humility Award picking up your trophy because you lose it. If you acknowledge your humility, you don't have humility, so you have to not acknowledge your humility. But you can do it after the fact because it's not retroactive. They can't take the award from you. My new book, The Three Most Humble People I Know and How I Taught the Other Two. You know, you need a good subtitle. You need a catchy main title, good subtitle. Nice to have you with me. I will attempt to be appropriately humble throughout the whole hour, although it's very hard. It's about, I get a headache. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. Several reasons. Most common one, someone has a particularly personal question. Somebody, something, some happening, some place, some in their life. When I say some, I'm talking about inheritance, you know, some, S-U-M, in their life, and they just want to bounce it off me. I can't do therapy here, obviously. Can't diagnose, and I certainly will not comment if you're seeing another therapist. However, we can educate, give a few ideas, a few thoughts, put our heads together. If you're talking about a kid, if you're calling about a kid, say a kid's six, and he's outsmarting you, and he probably could outsmart me, but he's not likely to outsmart both of us. Besides, you control everything, so you don't have to be smarter. It seems like kids outsmart you because they don't play by any rules. We play by rules. You know, we can't throw ourselves on the floor and throw a fit. That's within their rule book. 877-57-EQUAL. Another reason why people call in is to comment on previous calls. Sometimes they have a generic question. I had a question a few days ago regarding mixed marriage. Not a particular one, just one of a high-profile person who converted to Catholicism and whose wife is not a Christian. Just a comment on that from a Catholic perspective for us, not necessarily for them. What else? Sometimes people call in because they want to just offer an insight. You people have amazing amounts of insights regarding life, people, kids. Kids are people too, you know. Sometimes they are. So anything like that, I'd love to hear from you. The show does not go on without your calls. You make the show. You are the structural. You are the footer. You are the cornerstone and the capstone of the program. 877-57-EQUAL. When I left the Catholic Church for about 8 years in my 30s, yeah, I didn't leave it in my 20s, I left it in my 30s. Always been a little slow. I wasn't upset at her. I just drifted. I didn't leave Christianity, I just sort of found another church. My wife had been raised very nominally She didn't even know what nominally she was, but it was some sort of Protestantism. And she wanted to go back to what she thought was her childhood church. And I said, well, okay, I'll go with you. God's God, Jesus is Jesus, right? That's about where I was. And in the meantime, I got confused, and I begged God, please show me. Please help me. And nothing seemed to be happening, at least not on my time frame anyway. God, of course, knows us infinitely better than we know ourselves, and I look back on it, and I think what he did for me is made me search, and made me search hard. Made me look at things from a logical kind of perspective. And as I did, there were ideas that I came across that didn't make any sense. They clashed. I'll share with you one of them. Now, this particular notion, this particular piece of illogic about the Bible, is on my Instagram page. And it's been distilled down there in about a minute. Of course, here I'm taking a lot longer than a minute. I said, there's a logic problem with the Bible if you're not a Catholic. Historically, we know, it's a fact, you can't debate it. Any knowledgeable non-Catholic Christian will acknowledge this. That the Bible, as the Catholics use it, was put together in the latter part of the 4th century. And it was been confirmed since then a number of times. A lot of stuff floating around. They had to kind of decide what is our scripture. Now, if you say that it doesn't really matter that it was the Catholic Church who put scripture together, because, you know, that argument is oftentimes used with people. Say, where do you think you got your Bible? You got your Bible from the Catholic Church. A comeback to that is, well, no, I didn't get it from the Catholic Church. I got it from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided those guys into picking the books that go there. Okay, that's a fair assumption. Obviously, you have to accept that as a Catholic or a Protestant, because if the Holy Spirit didn't guide the church into picking the right books, then we don't really know if we got the right books. Maybe we got some that shouldn't be in there, and we got some that should be in there and ain't in there. Sorry for the ain't. I'm just getting a little folksy on you. Okay, here comes the logic problem. If you acknowledge, as Catholics certainly do, and I believe most Protestants will, if you point it out to them, that the Holy Spirit was very instrumental in helping us decide what is to be Scripture. Protestants and Catholics agree on the New Testament, 27 books. Catholics, Protestants, agree. Holy Spirit said those are the books. At the same time, though, the Holy Spirit said 46 books here go in the Old Testament, because at that time, that was the canon. Those 46 books were in the Old Testament. Protestants don't agree with that. They think those 7 books should not be in there, and indeed, Martin Luther took it upon himself to take them out. And he had his rationale, but he took them out. Okay, here's the logic problem. The Holy Spirit got it right on the New Testament, according to non-Catholic sources. But he got it wrong on the Old Testament. And it was not corrected until 1,100 years later. I suppose you could accept that, and in fact, you have to accept that. If you say the Holy Spirit was absolutely critical in guiding us to the right scripture, then you have to accept, as a Protestant, that he got the New Testament right, because that is your New Testament, the exact same one as the Catholic New Testament, but it is not the same one as the Catholic Old Testament. So where was the Holy Spirit? Did he not offer an opinion on the Old Testament? And he just sort of let Martin Luther correct it? That's what you have to say. I think that's a logic problem. I think that's a real logic problem. Because the Holy Spirit just decided to get part of it right and either got part of it wrong, which he can't because he's the Holy Spirit, or he just didn't enter in. He kind of let it go. He kind of let the Catholic guys at that time just sort of decide which books belonged in the Old Testament, and he sat by and watched them and said, well, they're wrong, but it's going to be corrected about 1,000 years from now. As I thought about that, coming back to the Catholic Church, I got real confused. I thought, that doesn't make any sense at all. But it's what I would have to accept if I didn't acknowledge that at the time that the Bible was established and was, of course, believed for 1,100 years after that, it was wrong. I guess you could say that, well, the New Testament may not be right either. You could say that. You could just simply say, as a very high-level Protestant media evangelist says, we have a fallible collection of infallible books. I think what he meant by that, it doesn't sound like it makes a whole lot of sense, but what he meant by that was, we don't know if we got the right books in the Bible, but the books that are there are infallible. I think that's what he's saying. I don't know if he came to that conclusion because he realized he had to, given this logic problem. Now, I expressed this far, far, far more succinctly in my one-minute reel on Instagram. And by the way, it has exploded. It's gone viral. I think it touched something that a lot of people haven't bothered to think about. I never bothered to think about it until the Lord let me struggle during those years that I clawed and scraped my way back to the Catholic Church. I was thinking of all kinds of stuff like that. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I would be delighted to talk to you.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Had to do some traveling last week. Was in San Juan Capistrano and Orange County, Irvine, California. I want to thank the Legatus groups there. Delightful time. I was not here. And so what I've noticed, and I don't, it's maybe just anecdotal, just my imagination. I went to some restaurants and the kids were acting up a lot more. And I don't want to think it was just because I was gone for 1 week. I mean, what would happen if I'm gone for a month? I mean, you couldn't even go to a restaurant then if you had kids there. All right. So to get to you in a second, just a couple of announcements. We finally got it up and running. Here's what's the plan is. Good Lord permitting, we are going to Fargo, North Dakota. Real Presence. That's a wonderful network. It truly is. I did a banquet for those guys and sorry. Gender insensitive. I did a banquet for those, I guess you can say folks, people, persons, 800 people at their pledge banquet. Incredible turnouts they get. So we're hoping they can do that for the TV show. We are taping there, planning, God willing, Wednesday and Thursday, October 23rd and 24th. If you go to realpresenceradio.com/, ooh, that's violent, Living Right with Dr. Ray, you can sign up. The shows are, I believe, 5:30 and 7:15 on those two nights. You can go 1, 2, 3, 4, as many as you want. Bring the kids. Some of you homeschooling parents, you can fill up the audience yourself. And if you worry a little bit about your kids acting up, we have psychologists right there. So go to realpresenceradio.com. Look for the Dr. Ray sign up. We would be delighted to have you. We want to load it up. If you people respond like you do to your banquets, we're going to have 100 plus in each of the shows, October 23 and 24. Anonymous caller from Toronto, Canada, just a little bit over there on the other side of Detroit. Hello, anonymous caller from Toronto, Canada.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for the call.
Yes, I'm just calling because a little bit of a complicated issue. I have a nephew and godchild in his late 20s. He's been through quite a lot of trauma, I would say, in his life. When he was in his teens, his parents, who were married in the Catholic Church, kind of, you know, separated themselves from the entire family, including him and his siblings. And so we never really got a chance to have much opportunity to see them or to, you know, do anything with them. And then now he is on his own. Actually, he had an issue with his parents, and then he had to leave home, and he was staying with his girlfriend's family. He got cancer, and then his family came back. His parents came back and were loving towards him. And I hate to say this, but when he was cured, his parents actually were very unkind to him, and they just didn't like his girlfriend. And anyhow, he's now engaged to this woman, and she's a very lovely person, but she's not Catholic. And he knows that it was our prayers that helped him get cured from cancer, but he hasn't approached the Catholic Church, and I really want him to get married in the Catholic Church. And obviously, I mean, his grandparents too, and he respects them very much, but they're starting the marriage prep program in our church, and I'm just wanting to somehow propose it to him in a way that, you know, he can think about it but not feel pressured. Or
why would he start the marriage prep? Why would he start the marriage prep program in your church if he's not interested in the Catholic faith at all? Why would he do that?
Yeah, well, the only thing I'm just thinking is that he has received all the sacraments. And I don't know. I guess it wouldn't happen. But I guess, are you saying that I shouldn't propose it?
Well, it would seem like he's already getting some kind of instruction within the
faith context about marriage, is he not?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, okay, maybe I misunderstand. He's getting marriage prep at your parish, correct? Catholic parish?
No, he's not.
Okay.
Like, he's a beautiful boy, beautiful heart, and he's the woman he's chosen to be his partner for life is an absolutely amazing woman. She's very respectful of our faith.
Is he taking some course through her church?
No, she's not Catholic or she's not Christian. I don't even know she's Christian. But
okay, hold on a second, dear. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Eric, how did you put he's taking a marriage prep course at church? Where'd you get that one from? That's right, I'm just kind of scolding him. Wait a minute. That's what I heard.
That's okay. I'm all rambling here. He probably misunderstood or I said something wrong. But yeah, he's not going to church either.
You're saying, what do I do to make him take a look back at the faith that he wasn't raised with?
That he was raised with, but he seems to have walked away from.
Well, you said the family was chaotic. You said the family was pretty chaotic.
Yeah, his parents were kind of like pushing him away.
Okay.
From
so,
it.
And so really, he wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't. Whatever they did, they didn't live it, or at least toward him, they didn't live it. And then they decided we're going to shun you until you got really sick, and then we're going to come back in your life, and then when you're better, okay, we're pulling back again, and we don't like your girlfriend, so we're kind of out of your life again. That sort of summarize it?
That's it.
Does he have any contact with you?
Yes, he does. Like, he's just recently, in the past year or so, he on his own came to our family. And to
ask him. Yeah. Ask him. Say, you were raised in the faith. Do you no longer believe? If he says, I don't know what to believe. Well, how did you come to that? How do you decide what to believe then? Well, I don't think you need to have to be Catholic to get married to somebody. If you really love them, we love each other, and I don't think I have to do that. How was it that you decided that the Catholic Church was not for you? Just ask him. Just get him to explain why he no longer is even looking at the church. You're not going to influence him. I think your chance to influence him is like sinking a putt from here to Jupiter. To try to get him to think, okay, well, don't you want to get married in the church? I mean, you were raised Catholic. You could do it. You could try that approach. But I think you need to do a little ground setting first and explore what is it that's making him, like about 80% of young adults, abandon the faith they were raised in.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that can talk to him. Have him explain it to you rather than you explain it to him.
Yeah. I think you have to find out those answers.
You do.
He's a beautiful boy. And I've repeatedly, encouraged him to come to Mass on occasion. Not push him, but just say, oh, we're going to Mass. Would you like to come? And usually doesn't come. not avoiding, but he'll come.
Are you familiar with the old song by Kenny Rogers, The Gambler?
Which one?
The chorus is, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like you've tried. And it sounds like he just doesn't want to move. So rather than you continue at him, explore. Get him to explain where he's at and why.
Okay.
Don't necessarily dispute him. Make him say it out loud. Sometimes when you say it out loud, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. As long as it's inside your head in bits and pieces, you can think you've got a good case until you have to explain your case. And then when you have to explain your case, wow, I really haven't thought it through very much. So that's the approach I'd take there, young lady.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good,
I think
good
that's
luck
great
to you.
Advice. Thank you.
Good luck
Thank
to you, dear.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Hey, already? My clock's off. I got 24:30. What do you guys got? Huh. This is Dr. Ray, 877-57. Equal is the number. Thanks for joining me.
is authority structured in the Catholic Church? Christ is the source of all authority in the Church. The Lord made St. Peter the rock of his church, the shepherd of the whole flock. The Pope, Bishop of Rome, and Peter's successor is the perpetual and visible source and foundation of the unity both of the bishops and the whole company of the faithful, according to the Catholic Catechism. Thus, his successor, the Pope and Vicar of Christ on earth, has full, supreme, and universal power, which he can always exercise unhindered. The College of Bishops has no power unless linked to the Roman Pontiff. When united to the Pope as its head, the College has supreme and full authority over the universal Church. But that power cannot be exercised without the agreement of the Roman Pontiff. The College of Bishops exercises power over the Church in an ecumenical council, but, the Catechism reminds us, there is never an ecumenical council which is not confirmed or at least recognized as such by the Pope. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on, and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
You ever notice, if you're a guy, and you're getting beat badly in a contest, whatever it is, whatever game it is, one of the first things you say is, hey guys, come on, it's not a contest here. Yeah, we guys, we compete. We compete. Don from Ohio, we wrestled with that exact question. Hi, Don, how are you?
Dr. Ray, how you doing?
Well, nice nothing gaining on me that I know of.
We spoke a little while back. I'm looking into adoption, and it's a long journey. But we've got a question. Some of the kids have such a sordid past. We're hoping to more separate them from that. And the basic question is about age. At what point do you think it's okay, better for them to even change their first name and try to break them apart from their past?
How old are the kids you're thinking?
Most of the ones we're seeing are closer to 10, but right now we're very open and we're talking to a few agencies, but it's taking some time to get their paperwork, you know, through dealing with the government.
I would be real slow, reluctant to change a kid's name at age 10. I really would. I might approach it if he has a middle name, say, which do you like better to be called? Your first name or your middle name? Oh, I like my middle name. Oh, okay. Would you want us to have that be your first name then? Give them a choice in it. Now, our daughter, we adopted at age 2. And her name was a very odd name. So we changed it. We changed it to Mary. But she was 2. I mean, she really had just an inkling of identity regarding her name. But you get up around 4, 5, 6, 7, pretty soon this is who these kids think they are, in terms of at least nominatively. And so if I'm going to do it, I'm going to ask them. You might say, you take it a step further there, Don. You could say, do you like your name a lot or not a lot?
I don't like my name.
Oh, would you? Would you like another name? Find out. I'd say about half the kids would say, I don't like my name. I didn't like the name Raymond. I didn't like it at all. If somebody would give me a chance, I would have changed it. But when my mom named me, I said to her, I said, hey, Ma, why did you name me Raymond? And she said, because we couldn't spell blah. So, oh, well, that hurt.
At what age do they know they've been adopted, too? That would be a very similar related age, I would think.
Oh, that's way back.
You know what I mean?
That's back between one and, that's between one and two.
Oh, really? I mean, so your two-year-old is always where?
Well, she was in a foster placement, so she knew at some minimal level she had a mommy and a daddy now that were going to be her mommy and a daddy. She knew that. That's how we introduced ourselves. When we adopted our twins, they were four, and there was an adjustment for them because they had lived with the foster parents for a couple of years. So when they came to us, they knew that something had changed. They may not have quite understood adoption per se, but they knew they were with a different mommy and a daddy in a different home. And then over time, of course, they adjusted and they just viewed us as mom and dad, and the memory of the foster parents just faded away.
I'm partially concerned that in the child's future there will be that issue of, you know, have you ever gone by another name? Well, yeah. But that's going to be the case no matter what.
Yeah.
The last name.
Yeah, pretty much. And I wouldn't make a big issue out of it. I've got an adoption book. It's called Adoption, Should You, Could You, Then What? And we talk about these kinds of things. You know, how much do you tell them about their history? What details you get into? When do you open up the adoption topic? All that stuff. But I think you're on safe ground, Don, to look at it as God gave you to us. You are our son. You are our daughter. And we will love you, and you will be with us. And I think the biggest thing is when you take in a foster kid, some of them have been bounced around all over the place. And they may be slow in getting comfortable that this one is going to stick. The other ones, for whatever the reason, didn't stick.
Do you think that's as much a behavioral problem potentially, or for some other reason?
I mean, I can't guarantee it, but when you had a kid who's been in foster care or multiple foster cares or was removed from their biological home at age three because of neglect or abuse, there's a pretty good chance that this kid is going to bounce a little bit in developing, in forming social skills. We definitely, of the four children we adopted older than birth, they all bounced. Doesn't mean you can't
able to bring them to fruition as
let me put it to you this way. Sometimes when you adopt an older kid, your love, your stability, your prayers, give them something they wouldn't have had. Now, what they do with that and when they do with it, maybe age 29, is known only to God. But I think it's very safe to say that if you're going to adopt older kids, be prepared that it could be a bit of a bouncy ride. And if you know that, you're not going to panic. You know, the first time the kid steals something, you're thinking, what? We've talked about stealing. He knows how we feel about stealing. We go to church. We don't know why is he stealing? Okay. Chill. Going to have to deal with this. Those kinds of things. But don't run scared. If you jump into the pool in the deep end and you say, look, this is the child God gave us. We're gonna hold on, and we're gonna ride this with all the love we got, and we're gonna see where it goes. As I tell people, I have 10 children.
Some probably going to serve a church. Some probably going to serve time, you know?
True.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for your courage. Our Lord says, this is faith that is pure and undefiled before the Lord, that we take care of the widows and the orphans in their distress. Whoever welcomes a little child like this welcomes me. So, go for it, my friend. A lot of calls up there. You people missed me last week. That's right, it was building up. Psychologically, choking up.
Sixty on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. The seventh commandment forbids theft, that is, unjustly taking or keeping another's property against the reasonable will of the owner. It also prohibits deliberate retention of goods, lent, or of objects lost. It prohibits business fraud, paying unjust wages, forcing up prices, and taking advantage of the ignorance or the hardship of another person. It prohibits the appropriation and use for private purposes of common goods. Also, work poorly done, tax evasion, forgery of checks, invoices, excessive expenses, and waste. Under the seventh commandment is also tucked our social justice teachings, because if I have two coats, one of them belongs to the poor, and I reasonably ought to give what belongs to them, because God gave all the goods of this world for all the people of this world.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
That idea of suffering is one of the reasons many people either turn away from God or they ignore faith altogether, because they cannot comprehend or wrap their heads around suffering and all the suffering in the world. This is an issue for you, and it's an issue for all of us from time to time when we go through rough situations, to say, Lord, what do you want me to learn about suffering? Ask the Lord to help you understand the meaning of suffering. God doesn't waste his time with anything. Whatever you go through, he will use if you allow him to use it. And you look at the greatest evil, right? The killing of God, Jesus, the Son of God on the cross. And what came out of that? Our salvation.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Boy, lots of calls up there. I'm doing my best. I do want to read this. I went down to Killeen, East Central Texas. They, Armor of God Catholic Radio, they're airing their fall pledge starting today through Thursday. So, if you're listening in Temple, Killeen, now it says you're Fort Hood, but now it goes by Fort Cavazos, or anywhere. It's a wonderful station. The colonel runs that thing with his wife, and they are special people. Got a chance to visit with them, so tune in to them and help them out. Oh, man, there's so many up there. Let's see what we can do here. Lorraine from Omaha has a 21-year-old daughter who's been seeing a guy for a long time. Matter of fact, she's figuring they've been dating so long, I forget her name. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi. Hi.
And it can't be dating that long. She's only 21.
Right. It's been near about 2.5 years.
Right.
They've been dating kind of, I guess you'd say steadily. I don't know, really. He's been over at the house. He'll come sometimes and eat dinner with us. But my question is, I'm just not... I get a vibe from him like he's using her strictly as eye candy. She's a lovely young girl, and she's been sheltered, but I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, she's Catholic. He is too, and But I'm getting a feeling that he's hiding something. And it's kind of a whole bunch of things. Appearance, the way he comes across. And I don't know if she's in denial. I'm not sure if... this is a delicate subject. I don't want to come across rude. But I don't know if my daughter knows. But the bottom line is, can I come right out and say to her my feelings, what I think, what I've just told you? I don't know if he's just using her while he's trying to find himself.
Well, if you don't want to go at it that directly, you got
right.
two levels here.
Because I've listened. Mm-hmm.
Two levels, Lorraine. The first level is I have learned to have great respect for the intuition of a mother regarding someone that their child is dating. You can't put your finger on it, but there's just some things that don't sit right, and there's probably some legitimacy to that. Okay, but that's not your problem. The problem is she's been dating him for 2.5 years, so obviously she wants to be with him at some level.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask her, hey, you guys have been dating a long time. What do you think? You looking for any kind of permanency here? See what she says. And then you could ask her, you could say, well, what are you looking for? What are you looking for in a guy that you will marry mm-hmm. for the rest of your life? So what you're finding out, you're not directly going at this and saying, I got some question marks all over this guy. But what you're saying is, well, let me hear how you describe the relationship and see if those question marks come out. You know, Lorraine, she may say something like, yeah, I don't know. The times I brought it up, he seems to back off. Oh, why do you think that is? Well, I don't know. He says mm-hmm. he's not ready for commitment yet. He's too young. When will you decide that he will be ready or he's just dragging this out? When will you decide that? So in other words, you're going to get her to explain to you if she has any reservations rather than you saying, I got reservations.
Oh,
and
okay.
If she comes across like, no, everything's wonderful, he's fabulous, I love him, he's great, this is tremendous, I hope we're going to be married, then you know. At this point, if you try to say something, it's probably going to bounce off a cinder block wall.
And then I'm telling you, this is a real bona fide. I'm tortured over it.
Oh, now come on!
Really
no, there's no. Your prop. No, now this is a 21-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Who's making a judgment, and mm-hmm. you're not real sure. You've got question marks, but you're not real sure. You know, this guy's not on probation, and he's not a drug dealer. I don't mean to
right.
trivialize that, but,
exactly.
but you're uneasy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Being tortured does not follow from being uneasy, from having a question mark about the guy.
Well, I'm kind of a drama queen. I used the wrong word.
That was a heavy word, man. I'm going to die. I'm going to die if she keeps dating him.
And it was... I wanted so much. I'm just...
You don't know
and
yet?
And I know it's not about me.
Well, you don't know yet either.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest... I would suggest that for now, you welcome this guy. You don't make okay. You don't make her think my mom's got all kinds of reservations about him. We're not going to come around as much. My mom, she said some things mm-hmm. here that I don't know what she's thinking. But I'll tell you what, you don't want to set that tone. You just don't.
Okay, but can I just why would a red-blooded American man not try to make a move on somebody? Is it such a thing as a man has that much kind of control over his...
Well, it used to be that that was viewed as a very positive.
Uh-huh.
He's not trying to get physical with her. That's viewed as a positive. Well, now we're saying, wait a minute! What's wrong with this dude that he hasn't made a move on her?
Isn't this terrible?
Yeah!
I totally get it. I totally get where you're coming from. Yeah, okay.
If that's one of the main reasons for your reservations, I would drop that one. I'd drop that one.
You would drop it. Okay.
I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't be tortured.
Okay, but you would drop that consideration. Okay, well, I'm so glad.
Yeah, I'm going to have to let you go, honey, because I'm up against the break. I got to let you go.
I love your program. God bless you.
Well, thank you. Bye. This is Dr. Ray.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart friendly, ride your bike everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Apology is in order. There are many, many people who wish to talk. And obviously can't get to all of you. So the commitment, of course, is that if you call back in any future show, you are first up. Okay? Got that? Both of you call at the same time. We'll do rock, paper, scissors. Mimi is okay, so I don't know why she's calling. It says here, Mimi, okay. Oh, no. Oh, Mimi, Oklahoma. Okay. Hi, Mimi.
Hi. So, I'm a little confused on this point. Okay, so I took my husband to our priest, and we were supposed to have this class on obedience and understanding what obedience is with, you know, in the realm of marriage. And in the course of it, I told the priest what was going on and what my concerns were, and it upset my husband. So then I was reading in your book, the simple steps to a happy marriage, something like that. And you said, you know, giving words of affirmation or like what you appreciate about yourself. So I did that. And now I'm kind of like, okay, well, obviously when I do that, I feel better and he feels better and all that sort of thing. But that's not going to take care of the problems that are facing us.
Yes and no, Mimi. Yes and no. If he feels that you're not on him, a negative ratio of 8-1. Say it's 4-4. 4 positives, 4 negatives. He might be a little more likely to listen when you talk about what bothers you. You got a little more credibility. It's a simple relationship here, Mimi. If most of what you want to talk about with a spouse is negative, after a while you're going to lose credibility. They're basically going to say, you know, okay, tell me what's wrong with me again. And if you get into a cycle like that, you're not going to get heard. So the one good thing about it, if you let him know the positive stuff that's there, and if you remember in that chapter, I talked about, well, if I do that,
then he'll think, and it's just exactly what you said, Mimi, he'll think he doesn't have to change the other stuff because he's such a great guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. That's not true. Very few people don't soften when they know you recognize their positives. You're not saying you're St. John Bosco. You're simply saying, here's what I love about you, I like about you, here's positive stuff about you, so that when you do have to step onto the ticklish turf, he might be a little more likely to hear you out. Now, here's another way to introduce it. Rather than initially approaching it as, we need to talk because here's where I'm at with what you do, okay? If you approach it from the perspective of, here's what I do. Here's how I react when you do that. You got any ideas on how I could react better? Now, that really twists it. In other words, say he scolds you a lot, okay? And you say, when I get scolded, I don't react well to it. I tend to shut down. When you do that, what are you saying to me? Help me understand what you're saying to me. Do it that way. Even if he would recognize that what you say is legit, typically people get defensive when they think they're being criticized. Now, it's not good. Unfortunately, it's fallen human nature. So if you phrase it that way and you keep up the balance, in bad marriages, Mimi, or in marriages that are full of friction, they're so negatively toned. Oh, man, I haven't said one nice thing about you in the last 8 months, but I'll tell you what. I notice every single stinking negative thing about you. And that at that point, and you said one other thing, too. I'll have to let you go and get to one more call. You said he got upset. And you said, I took him to the priest. Now, I don't know if you meant to phrase it that way or if you're saying, I'm going to take him there and I'm going to get the priest to straighten him out. Because I'm going to tell the priest what's going on between us, and maybe the priest will see what's happening, and the priest will tell him, hey, you got to stop doing this stuff. I don't know. Mm-hmm. However, he didn't like what you apparently said to the priest because he felt like you were criticizing him or playing up his negatives as you saw him in front of the priest. What I would do, Mimi, this is a good way to get us soft. I would tell him I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to make you look bad in front of the priest, and if I did, I am sorry. I shouldn't have done that. A couple of thoughts there, my dear.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Good luck to you. You know, a lot of times when people call, I don't know what's going on at the other end. So what my goal is to help the person who called deal with whatever it is going on the other end. If you do marriage counseling, you will hear wildly diverse interpretations of situations. These people don't live in the same house. They don't live in the same planet. And that's something that's always there. So, okay, let me go one more here. Let's go to Rob. Rob is crying because it says here, Rob Wah. No, Rob Washington. Okay, got it. Hey, Rob, yo.
Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll make it quick. We have a 12-year-old who, he's a great kid. He's very loving. But he refuses to, at times, take responsibility for anything. He'll take anything that he does wrong personally if we bring it up, like taking a wrong move on a board game or anything. He'll just dig his heels in and refuses to acknowledge any mistakes.
Well, that's okay. That's the phrase I was looking for. He doesn't acknowledge it, but that's okay because you're dad and you're holding him accountable. So if he makes a wrong move on the board game and you say, hey, that's against the rules. Well, I didn't. There's no way. Well, this game's over, son. In other words, you're going to hold him accountable for his actions. You're going to teach him the lesson. And whether or not, son, you recognize that you were personally responsible for this is secondary. Primary is that I'm going to hold you accountable. So I think what frustrates you is you're thinking, well, he just doesn't admit. He doesn't admit it. He doesn't admit it. Then what? Well, don't worry about him having to admit it. Just hold him accountable, and over time, hopefully it'll sink in. All of you online, please call back. You'll be first up. Dr. A, I got to run. Thanks so much for keeping me company. I appreciate it. Hey, go to Fargo, North Dakota. Sign up for the TV show.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.